this morning with us into Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And when you find Colossians 3, if you could, just stand to your feet as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Colossians 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the Sunday school hour this morning and the great time we had in Sunday school. We thank you, Father, for the song that we have heard, Lord, encouraging us to seek and to desire to be more like you, that we might set a godly example before our children. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the preparations for Bible school that have been made. And we know, Lord, many have labored hard and long to get everything in place and to set up all that is going to be used this week to uplift and glorify you. And Father, we ask your blessing upon all that has been done. And Father, we ask for strength that can only come from you to help us, Lord, to honor you in doing what's pleasing in your sight. Now, God, lead us through your word this morning. As we look to your word for the short time, Father, help us, God, to give glory unto your name. For in all that we do, Father, our desire is to uplift and to glorify you. We praise you today in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. Colossians 3:16 down through verse 25 has a parallel set of verses, a parallel set of scriptures that almost mimic it. It's another one of the letters, another one of the epistles that Paul had written to the church in Ephesus. And it starts in Ephesians 5 and 23 and goes down through chapter 6 and verse 4. And they almost parallel exactly what Paul is saying. And it just reminds us that the message of the Word of God doesn't change from individual to individual. The message of the Word of God doesn't change from church to church. It doesn't change from your location to this location and things of that nature. The Word of God stays the same. It's constant. And we need to understand that God makes no mistakes when He gives us His Word, and He encourages us to do things in this Word. We see as we read our passage of Scripture this morning that as He begins with it, it's a rendering honor unto those to whom honor is due to be rendered. Verses 16 and 17, how we see that honor is to be rendered unto the Lord. Amen. As we study His Word and teach His Word and sing and worship and praise Him, all that we do is to be done in His name, that it might be done to His glory and honor. Amen. That we might uplift Him. Ephesians 5 and 23 reminds us that He is the head of the church. He's above it all. Amen. And praise God, we need to realize that. In verses Verse 18, the Bible tells us of honoring of husbands and submission to their own husbands. And you know, this is so important. We see this repeated in Ephesians 5 and 25. And you may wonder why that's there. Sometimes we get so familiar with those around us, maybe that we don't give the honor and respect that's due them. It says here, submit yourself unto your own husbands. Amen. You know, I've heard a multitude of men saying, it don't matter if I say it, it doesn't matter, but if somebody else says it, my wife will listen. If I tell her this, it doesn't matter, but if someone else tells her, it matters. Your own husbands. Amen. Let's give them the honor that's due the position that God has given them. In verse 19, y'all getting real quiet now this morning. Ain't no need for quiet. Amen. This is the word of God. Amen. This ain't the word of Dennis. It's the word of God. Amen. It'll help you if you'll listen to it. It's important enough that God said it twice. Amen. He tells the husbands to honor the wife. He says in verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them through loving. Through the example that Christ has set before us, loving like Christ has loved, loving like Christ has given us the example. In Ephesians 5 and 25, Paul reminds us that Christ loved himself, loved his church enough to give his life for it, and we are to love our wives the same way. She is to be the most precious gift that God has given, not your children, it's your wife. Amen. It's not your car, it's your wife. It's not your possessions, it's your wife. Husbands, love your wife and be not bitter. Amen. There are times when we disagree. There's times when we have differences of opinions, but I'm still to love my wife the way that Christ loved his church, and I would be willing to die for my wife like I know she would be willing to die for me if she needed to. Amen. Why? Because she knows I love her. And I know she loves me. And I'm to honor her in loving her. In verse 20, it tells children to obey their parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It pleases the Lord, it says over in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. It tells us it's the first promise, or the first commandment with promise. It holds out hope for children to honor your parents and to obey your parents. Amen? To revere your parents. It tells in verse 21 that we're to honor our children. Psalm 127 tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the man that has his quiver full. Amen? They're not our children. They're loaned to us. They're given to us. Hannah gave her son. She loaned her son that God had given her to him continually. She committed him unto the Lord. They're God's heritage. They're God's blessing. And we need to honor our children as much as we expect them to honor us. It doesn't mean we don't need to stop being parents. We still got to be the bad guys. Amen. But we need to remember that the children that we have are a gift of God. They're a blessing from Him. And then it goes on to finish out in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Honoring our masters, honoring those who are in authority, honoring our employers and those to whom we work for and those to whom we labor for. In Ephesians, one of my favorite verses, and the pastor whose ministry I got saved under, Brother Jim Allen, he had it on his mantle in Ephesians 6 and 7, with goodwill doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. Amen. I've never forgot that passage of Scripture. I seen that the scripture written on his mandolin, and I had to go look it up, and I had to memorize it because it meant something, because it was on my master's mandolin, and it meant something to him. He's my teacher, amen. He was my pastor, my instructor, and praise God, I want to be like him, amen, and I want to honor the Lord in the things that I do. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh. There are things that we do for our employers that we should be exemplary in. And as we honor all aspects of the family, we're aware that it's incumbent on each of us to respect and honor one another. But today is Father's Day, and we want to preach a message to fathers this morning. I was torn between preaching something else. We preached on Mother's Day the disregarded mother, the unregarded mother, the unusual mother. We preached about the two harlots and the child that they brought before King Solomon. We don't think of them and the motherhood in the way that we think of the conventional mom. And then I got to thinking about the term we hear all the time in our day and time, the baby daddy. We got fathers who are absentee fathers. Amen? That they're not there for their children. And I thought about Judah and Tamar and how Judah, when he found out that Tamar was pregnant with his child, he sent provision for her and he took care of her to make sure that his child was taken care of. But he didn't go. He didn't have any other relationships with her and he didn't have any other fellowships with her. But we see how God used that relationship even in the lineage and the forming of our Savior's life. You see, there are many kinds of fathers the Bible tells us about. But he tells us here in Colossians that fathers should not be discouragers. We need to be the kind of fathers who encourage. The Bible was full of fathers who were bad dads. Bad examples, left bad testimonies behind. Go read through the book of Kings and read of the kings of Israel, the Chronicles, and you read of the kings of Israel and the fathers that did evil in the sight of the Lord and their children did evil in the sight of the Lord. They followed after the example that was set before them. That's why I like that song, and that song I think has a great witness, a great testimony. Lord, I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. We read of the men of God that stood and we see where their children were and the faith that their children had because of the faith of their fathers. And we look at Abraham and we see the father of faith and we see the father of the faithful. He had a relationship to where sometimes he tried to work it out on his own, but every time he messed things up, he learned to lean closer on God, and he learned to depend on God until the place when God asked him to give up his child, to sacrifice his child as a burnt sacrifice, his only child, that he was willing to lay his child on the altar. Amen. He's called the friend of God. Then we think about Joshua, the committed father. Amen. Irregardless of what everybody else was going to do, Joshua made the point that he was going to be committed. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You do what you want to do, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Amen. You see, in verse 21, fathers are addressed. Fathers are pointed out in this verse specifically. And we got to realize there are all kinds of fathers. The good ones and the bad ones, the faithful ones, the committed ones, the praying ones. Job was a praying father. The Bible tells us that Job offered sacrifices for his children just in case. Amen? Just in case. Dad, when was the last time you prayed for your kids just in case? Amen? He didn't know that they had sinned. He didn't know that they had done anything particularly wrong. But he offered sacrifices, and I believe he sought God's face, and he sought God's desire for his family just in case. You know what the world needs today? They need more praying fathers. They need fathers that are going to pray just in case. Lord, I'm sending my little one into this world, and I want you to watch over them. For Father, you know. Amen. You know what's going to happen. I'm praying, Father, just in case. Just in case they stumble, Father, would you catch them before they fall? Amen. Just in case they find themselves in harm's way, Father, would you put your hedge about them and keep the serpent from biting? Just in case, Father, this morning, would you do what only you can do, because you know what no one else can know? And just in case, would you be there? Just in case, because you know I can't. Just in case, Father, do what only you can do. Then we see there was Joseph, the surrogate father. Joseph, the stepfather. Joseph, the example of what a father could be, even when you know the child's not yours. You know, we live in a day and time, we live in a world when probably 50% or better of the kids in our society today are being raised by a stepfather, being raised by a surrogate father. Amen. He's not their biological father, but he's their father. Joseph knew that he wasn't the biological father of the Lord Jesus. But the Bible tells us, and the Bible makes it clear, I believe in its teaching, that Joseph raised him just like he was his own. That Joseph loved him just like he was his own. Amen. When Jesus was questioned on his authority and his authenticity, they said, is not this Joseph's son? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the fellow that came from Nazareth, who was a cabinet maker, a builder, whatever it was, whatever kind of carpentry it was that he did? But he was recognized as Joseph's son. Amen. You see, Dad, just because you didn't biologically have an input into that child's being here, it doesn't mean your role isn't important. Amen. And you can be a godly example. You can be an encourager in the Lord. And of course, we have the greatest father of all. We have the most important father of them all. We have the father of our Lord, the one that the Bible teaches us as we pray, our Father, which he art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's holy. He's sacred. Amen. He's revered above all. He's the one that we can be endeared to, and we can call Abba a father, the term of endearment, just like saying daddy. The difference between this is my father and this is my daddy. Amen. You know something I noticed about the Rochester boys? Amen. They're grown men now. Amen. And they still call their father daddy. Amen. They still call their father daddy. Amen. I hang out a lot with Calvin and his brother Chris. Amen. Chris doesn't refer to his father as his father. When Chris talks about his father, it's still daddy. And Chris is 40-some years old. You know why? Because his daddy was endeared to him. His daddy was special to him. God wants to be special to you, and he wants to be that special father to each and every one of us. And if you don't have a father today that's endeared to your heart, I want you to know there's one that loves you. There's one that cares for you. There's one that does everything for you. And there's one that wants to endear himself to you. He wants to be your daddy. Amen. He's eternal. Fathers come. My father died. I was 8.5 years old. I didn't get to see him the last few weeks before he died. Back in them days, kids weren't allowed in the hospital. If you weren't 12 years old, you didn't go to the hospital. They didn't let you in the hospital. In the last few weeks he was in the hospital, all I got to do was hear about my daddy. He's not doing good. All I got to hear about was the problems that he was having. And all I got to picture and all I got to know and all I got to see was my daddy was suffering. And I was in bed one night and I heard my sister as one of the neighbors came to tell us that Dad had died. My brother and my mother were at the hospital and my sister was there watching us, and I heard the neighbor come to the door and I was in bed upstairs. And I heard my sister just scream out and cry. I knew my daddy was gone. But you know what? I've got a heavenly father. Amen. I got a heavenly father. Amen. That will never leave me nor forsake me. I got a heavenly father that's made it possible that one day I get to see my earthly father again. Amen. I believe he's at home with Jesus. My brother told me, we was just talking here a few weeks ago, as his wife was going through the same thing in the hospital. And he just reminded me, his wife even talked about it, how they were at the hospital with my dad when he died. And the last things he did, he looked up and he reached up and he said, "Dear Jesus, amen. Praise God. I'm glad that he's made a way that I'm going to get to see my dad again one more time. Amen. I'm glad I got a heavenly father that loves me so much that he know that I would go through some hurts down here below. But praise God, he's made a way that he can take the sting of death away. He can take the sting of hurt away. And praise God, I'll see my dad again." Yeah. Amen. Because I got an eternal heavenly father. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He's faithful, forgiving, forbearing, loving, like I wished I was. But I'm not. I wished I could be more like him so that my kids would want to be more like me. But I'm not. Fathers. What kind of father are you today? What kind of father do you want to be? Amen. It's important because the outcome, what happens in the end, makes all the difference. My daughter posted a picture of me and her on Facebook last night. Somebody, she unloved. Somebody had the audacity to say, "That's not him," or something like that. Amen. But my daughter is sitting there. And if you look at the picture, if you go look at it, she's sitting there like this. And that don't mean anything to a whole lot of people. But they used to say she had me wrapped around her little finger. And they would ask Becky, she's a little, I don't know, in the picture she was, maybe two. They say, "Becky, where's your daddy?" She'd go, Amen. You know where my Heavenly Father needs to be, my Heavenly Daddy. You know where Abba Father needs to be. So close to me that like a little child, I say, He's just wrapped up in me. He's all around me. Amen. That's the kind of Father that I want to be. But it's not the kind of Father I find myself always being. We see that the address is made to the Father, because there's a serious problem. There's a serious subject that needs to be addressed. Fathers, now bear in mind, think about what kind of a father you should be. Provoke not your children to anger. Provoke not your children to anger. The word provoke has two meanings. It has a negative sense, which Paul is writing to the Colossian church here. Provoke not your children to anger. But it also has a positive sense when it tells us that we can provoke one another unto godliness. We can provoke one another unto faithfulness. We can provoke one another unto godly living. If you study the Word of God, over in Hebrews, it tells us that we can provoke one another unto being faithful and unto living true. It tells us over in Corinthians that we can provoke one another unto godliness. We need to be those kind of fathers. We need to be those kind of Christians. We need to be those kind of individuals that provoke one another to draw closer to God instead of drawing away from God. And dads, we bear a great influence in how we provoke our children. They're provoked by our words. And sometimes our words are rough. Sometimes our words are harsh. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty. And let something happen to one of my kids, and I can get very harsh. And I can get very rough. But you know, my kids and your kids, especially when you have little kids, hear your words. They hear your words. In chapter 4 and verse number 6, Paul says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." We need to guard our words so that we provoke our children in the right way. We need to guard what we say and how we say it, that we provoke our children unto godliness, unto faithfulness, unto loving Him like they should love Him, and like we should love Him, and like we should represent Him. Our words, though they're just words, carry great weight and great power. And Paul says, let our words be always seasoned with grace. Be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know what that means? Seasoned with salt. You put salt on something, and you crave the salt. Something that has no salt on it is bland. Amen? But you put a little salt on it, and it's savory. Let your words be with grace. But let them have something that has, something that draws, something that makes one desire. You know, some folks, they sit down to a meal before they do anything else, they pick the salt shaker up. Yeah, they don't even taste the food. They just know that it needs the salt. Amen? You know, if we would be that way with our words, amen? Before we speak, let your words, let your speech, let the things that you say be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know, we talked about this a while back, and we was talking about it in Sunday school about a year or so ago, I guess. But, you know, it's one thing to be right, but it's another thing to be righteous. Amen? In other words, it's one thing to be able to say, I told you so, but it's another thing to be able to say, I told you so in a loving manner. Amen? Let your words provoke your children unto godliness instead of away from godliness. They're provoked by our actions and the things that we do. In 1 Peter 1:16 it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What kind of an example not only do you set before your children in the things you say, but what kind of an example do you set in the things that you do? You can drive your children away. You can take any desire for your children to have a desire to go to the house of God away simply by the things you do. You don't have time for God, they don't have time for God. You don't do the things that represent godliness, they're not going to do the things that represent godliness. You're not going to live a life that is an exemplary example of what a Christian should be before them. Why would you expect them to? Amen? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. You know why children get angry? Because dad comes to church because he has to. Well, that ain't the same dad that I live with. That ain't the same dad that I know. That ain't the same dad. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Back in the first part of the chapter, verse number 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth. You know, we exemplify what's important to us by what we express and our desires express whether God's important in our life or not. If God's only important because we have to go, we have to be there, it's not a desire. If we allow our children to know that we would rather be fishing than we would in church, what's that tell you, children? If we let our children know that we would rather do something that pleases the folks in the world than pleases God, what's that tell our children? Worldliness and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and all those things that are going to fade away are more important to us than what the Lord is. What's most important is God. The things we say, do, and desire have an effect on our children to provoke them to anger or to provoke them to draw them closer to God. To provoke them to anger or to provoke them to peace. To provoke them to anger. It says, fathers, provoke not. Provoke not your children to anger. So what's that tell us right there? Our desire, our goal should be to encourage our children to draw close to God. To draw close to the Lord. To be the fathers that are encouragers in the things of the Lord than the discouragers in the things of the world. Amen. Now there's pleasure in sin. And there's no need trying to hide that from your children. They already know that. They don't live in a bubble. You know, I deal with a lot of Amish. I hang around a lot of Amish folks. And they try to shield themselves, and they try to live their life in a bubble apart from the world, but the reality of it is they're not. I had one Amish boy that used to work for me. I'd pick him up on Monday mornings, and sometimes he'd come out, and his eyes would be all bloodshot, and I said, man, what time did you get in bed? He said, I didn't. I just got home. You know? They're not shielded. It might seem different. It might sound different. They take their time. I had a preacher here. I forget who it was. One of the pastors that was here. It might have been Brother Jeff Faggard. I don't remember, but he was preaching in a church out in Indiana. And it was, wasn't actually a church. It was a resort. It was something kind of like Sandy Cove. And they had a chapel service there. And he was preaching in a chapel service there, a special service that was going on. And in the midst of all this, there was all these teenagers there. All these girls running around in bikinis and boys in their swimming suits, swimming trunks and junk. Now they're all running around there and everywhere. And he says, how y'all have a meeting up here with all this going on? What's all this? He said, well, he said, that's actually a separate camp from this one. It was like two parts, and one belonged to one place, but they were just right next to one another. He said, well, who's that bunch over there? He says, that's the Amish. He said, they come here every year for a week of going on. See, they're not insulated and they're not isolated. Amen? There's nothing different. And you might think your kids live in a bubble, but they're aware that there are pleasures in sin for a season. But we need to show them, and we need to be an example to them, that the things of God are more important than the things of the world. Fathers, provoke not your children unto anger. We need to show them, and we need to let them know, yeah, there are pleasures in doing these things, but there are consequences as well. Amen. And you can't do that by harping. You can't do that by discouraging. You can't do that by beating them down. Paul says we do it by raising them in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. We can provoke them to godliness, or we can provoke them to discouragement. Look, we see the addressee, the father. We see the subject, the provocation of the children, and the reason, lest they be discouraged. We should be encouragers to our children. We should be a help to them. We should be an example of what they would desire to be. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, he's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus. John 13:17 says, if you knew these things, happy are ye if you do them. A Christ example that is set before us. Psalm 27, 1 to 3 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. We need to teach our children that there is something special about serving Jesus. Amen. Amen. We've been begotten again unto a lively hope. Amen. The church shouldn't be a dead place. It should be a lively place. Amen. The church isn't a place of dead bones and dead bodies and dead people. But praise God, it's people who are alive more than they ever were alive before they knew Christ. And we should live our lives and let our children know and leave an example behind us of what godliness and what joy in serving Jesus is all about. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to work all day and come home on Wednesday night and get packed up and go to church. But don't grumble about it. Amen. That provokes your children to discouragement. Amen. I know what it's like. I've done it. I've been there. Amen. It's hard to do everything and go to this event and that event and everything and get it all done, because you know you got to go to church on Sunday, and you're going to be in church on Sunday. That's the place where you need to be. And you go, and you can go grumbling, or you can go with joy in your heart about being there. Amen. Amen. We can set the example. We can be the provocation that helps to draw our children to Christ or away from Christ. Fathers, provoke not your children unto anger, lest they be discouraged. Moms, that goes for you too. Amen. Christian, that goes for you too. There's people who are watching you. Amen. We need to be encouragers. Dad, we need to be encouragers. We need to be helping people to have a desire, to want to know Christ and to be drawn closer to Him instead of being those people that drive people away. We can all sit and say, well, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. But that doesn't change a thing. That doesn't encourage anybody else. It just tells them what you are. Why don't you tell them what you really are? Hey, man, no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner. It's been saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's who you really are. That's all we got to brag about. That's all I can tell you. Amen. I'm not perfect. I'm not always right. You know, I'm not always the example that I need to be. But I know what I need to do when I need to do it. Lord, I want to be more like You because they want to be like me. Can that be your prayer this morning? Can that be your example? That you want to encourage your children to see Christ in everything that you do? That you want to encourage your children to be desirous of the relationship that you have? That you want to encourage those who see your life to live a life like you do? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get it.